Chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. This is a well-known portion of Scripture. Movies have been made about it and all kinds of things. Moses, one of the great heroes of the Bible, the burning bush, and Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was born in Egypt, and at that time Pharaoh was having all the male children killed, or trying to. And they hid Moses as long as they could. And then the mama made a little basket out of reeds, bulrushes, and put tar on it and all that kind of stuff. Made a little boat, called it an ark. Put him down in the River Nile and floated down through there. Well, one of Pharaoh's daughters finds him, falls in love with the cute little baby, and adopts him as her own. Well, Miriam, Moses' daughter, was watching all of this. Says, well, you want somebody to help you nurse that baby? Oh, yeah. So, takes Moses back to mama. And she nurses him and raises him. So, until he's weaned and things like that. So, Moses spends 40 years in Egypt, learning the ways of the Pharaohs, learning the wisdom and the knowledge of Egypt and all those things and the way Egypt's run and the government and all that stuff. Then he knows he's going to rescue the people of Israel that's been slaves there. And so he goes out and kills an Egyptian. Well, he gets found out and has to run and leave and hide. So he goes out into the wilderness with his father-in-law and raises sheep, becomes a sheep herder. Spends 40 years out there in the wilderness, backside of the desert. Well, here in chapter 3 is when God calls him and calls him to go back into Egypt and rescue the people and bring them out. So he spends 40 years after that wandering around in the wilderness with the Hebrew children before they get in the promised land. Number 40, time of teaching and learning. Well, we're going to look here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, down through verse 6, when God calls Moses into service. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to a mountain of God, even into Hobron. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burneth with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. The place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And then God gives him his charge and commandments, and Moses starts making excuses and all kinds of things. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given. God, let us understand. God, let us see what you have for us here today from your precious word. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This here in verse 5 is the first time that the word holy is used in the Bible. That is very important when you're studying about a word, to see where it was used at the first time in the Bible. Many times it's important to see where it's used first time in the New Testament. Many times it's important to see where it's used the last time. But here, we have the first instance of the word holy being used in the Bible. It is used in 544 different verses in the Bible. The word holy or holy is used. Holiest is used about 3 times. So it's a very widely used word in the Bible. Holy basically means no sin. Something infinitely and completely and totally separated from sin is holy. We talk about a holy God. We talk about a Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Word of God. Many times we use the word holy. But the question I have this morning here in verse 5 is, what made this place holy where Moses is at this time? He told him to take off his shoes because the place you're standing is holy ground. What made that ground different from the rest of the ground? What made that area different from the rest of all of that around there? What made that common everyday bush different from all the other brush around there? What made that place holy? The presence of God made that place holy. The presence of God came in. The presence of God abided there. And it changed everything right there, because that is where God was at that time. Today, if you could find this place, it's not holy anymore. That bush is not going to be there anymore. There are no artifacts. There's no statues. There's no memorials there. It's just another piece of desert. But something changed it for that time. The presence of God. The presence of God changes everything. The presence of God makes things holy. God can only be someplace that is holy. Therefore, any place that God is holy. God cannot be in the presence of sin and be God, because God is holy. That brought about a bit of a problem with us going to heaven, because God is holy. God wanted us to be with Him, but we couldn't be with Him because we're not holy. That's why Jesus came. So through Jesus, we could be worthy to be in the presence of God. Now, I find this very interesting here, that He told him to take off his shoes. One other time, Jacob was told to take off his shoes in the presence of the holy angel of God. The shoes represent the dirt and the trash and the filth of walking through life and through the world. That's why a lot of the Oriental countries, they take off their shoes before you go in the house, because you leave the dirt at the door and you don't track it all through the house. That's why you got those mats to scrape off the mud and all those things. On the ranch, we had them to scrape off other stuff that got on our boots. And you had all these things and you scraped this off before you went in the house so you wouldn't track all this stuff in the house. That's why the priests, before they went in the Holy of Holies and did the tabernacle and did their things, they had to wash in the laver, the polished laver. They had to wash their hands and feet and all those things, symbolically of washing away the sin. As I studied this, in verse 5, draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer. When you see something unusual, you want to touch it. You want to feel it. You want to check it out. You want to see what's going on. You know, in museums and antiques and all of those things, they have them blocked off so you can't see them. Or you can't get up to them and touch them. When you go into the caverns and caves and different things like that, you're not supposed to touch the stalactites and the stalagmites because your oil stops the growth and it contaminates them and then they don't work anymore. A lot of these famous monuments and things like that, they're all soiled and dirty and oily from the people's hands touching them. We tell the children, they see a candle, they see a flame, don't touch it, it's going to burn you, don't touch it. And they sit there and they look at it and they watch it and they just can't keep their hands out of it. It's just so fascinating, they want to touch it and see it and feel it. These stores, if you ever been in a store with a young child, they got all these knickknacks and all that stuff around. You're really watching them close, huh? A lot of times they got signs, you break it, you bought it, you know? All this stuff, you know? They want to touch it. They want to get there. They want to feel it. They want to see what it feels like. Women, when you go in to buy clothes, what do? Feel of it, huh? Feel of it, huh? In the shop, you know, the tool truck could come by, Snap-on, Cornwell, Mack, all those guys, you know. What do they want you to do? They would always come in the shop and they'd have a little bag of tools. Something new, something fancy and all. Here, look at this, all this, hold it. They want you to hold it. They want you to touch it. Come on out in the truck and look at this stuff, you know. And they figure once you got it in your hand and you're looking at it, you're going to buy it. They want you to touch it. They want you to feel it. But you know what it feels like. Whether you're buying peaches or grapefruits or tomatoes or clothes or tools or anything else. You want to touch it. You want to feel it. Well, Moses could not touch God. He says, don't you come any closer. Don't come any closer. Stay back a little way. And take off your shoes. Because where you're standing is holy ground. There's another time that Moses saw the hinder parts of a holy God. And his face come back and glowed and shined and all those things. Always thought it was interesting in that movie. After that he had white hair. You know, that's Hollywood's thing about doing stuff here. But holy ground. He was in the presence of God. In all the references that I found in the Bible where it tells us to be holy, it says, because God is holy. There's like three in Leviticus, Matthew, and in Peter. It says, in Peter it says, but as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God commands us to be holy. God wants us to be holy in our life. And remember, any place that God is holy. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands or answer, but I want you to think about this in your mind. Have you ever been in the presence of the Holy God? Have you ever been in the presence of the Holy God? Now, I'm not talking, have you been to heaven and come back? No. The presence of a holy God in your life. Did it change you? Was it a lasting change? Moses was never the same after this encounter with God. Moses' life was totally changed. And Moses' direction in life was totally changed. And this is what God had planned for Moses. And now he's ready. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, 80 years old, he's now ready. And God calls him. And his life changed from that point on. Oh, he went back to Egypt, but not as an adopted son of Pharaoh. Oh, he went back into the wilderness, but not as a shepherd. Oh, he was a shepherd of people, but not of sheep. God was training him all this time. But when he came in the presence of the Holy God, it changed his life. If you are a born-again Christian, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved, and you know that, then the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in your soul. And you are more than in the presence of Holy God. He is dwelling in your life. Why is he called the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? The earnest of your salvation is called, sealed in the day of redemption. God can only be in a place that is holy. I'm not holy. You're not holy. But part of you is. Your soul. Your soul. Because God is there. In your soul. Have you ever been in the presence of a holy God? Even more than the presence of Moses there. Because he's dwelling in you if you're saved. He is actually part of your life. And anytime the presence of God is there, that place is holy. Now listen. That bush was holy. That spot where Moses was standing around that bush was holy. But the whole desert wasn't holy. Just that spot right there where God was holy. No more than your whole body is holy. That spot where God is in your life is holy. You have a holy God dwelling in your soul as a Christian. That is one reason that sin bothers a Christian. Because they're putting sin next to a holy God. As you, as a Christian, you are in the presence of the one and holy Lord God Almighty, dwelling in your soul. Let me ask you this. Well, I was just talking to... Oh, he's over here now. He's over here this morning. Albert. When they had the president come up there to the high school, he works up there. And the kids were putting fish in things to make it smell before the president got there. kids. They had to do all kinds of things before he came. It all cleaned up and all spuffed up. They had security guards all over the place and doing, you can't be there, you can't go there, you can't do this, get over here, get over there, I can't see you, what are you doing? All this stuff was going on. Police all over the place. What if Jesus was coming to your house this afternoon? What would you have to change if Jesus was coming to your house this afternoon? What would you have to clean? Maybe get rid of, rearrange. I don't know. What if got up Monday morning, getting ready to go to work or wherever, and Jesus says, I'm spending the day with you. I'm going to go spend the day with you today. I'm going to ride with you in the car. I'm going to go with you to work. I'm going to see what you do and how you do it and what's going on there. I'm going to spend the whole day with you. At lunch, break time. I'm going to spend the whole day with you today, Jesus says. I'm going to be right there with you. I want to see what you're doing. I want to see how it's going today. What if it happens on Sunday morning? And Jesus shows up and says, I'm going to church with you today. What would have to change? Maybe you'd have to go that day. I don't know. You're here now, but I mean, hey. That change when you get there, what you do, your attitude, what you bring, how you are. Maybe how you listen, pay attention, bring your Bible. So many things. Why? Because you're in the presence of Jesus. God has always been holy. God will always be holy. Are you in the presence of the great, holy, almighty God? Exodus, gloriness in holiness, it talks about. And Samuel, who is able to stand before this holy God? In Psalms, the Lord our God is holy. In Isaiah, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. In Ezekiel, so will I make my name holy, known in the midst of the people, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. In Revelation, as we get the scene of heaven, the angels do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come around heaven. Also in Revelation, O Lord, and glory thy name, for thou art holy. All nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. The first time the word holy is used is when God is there in the presence of Moses in that bush, which is being set on fire but not consumed by the presence of God. He sets you on fire, but he doesn't consume you. That's another lesson. The last time the word holy is used is in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22. And it says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Why is it called the holy city? Because that's where God is. Why was that land called holy? Because that's where God is or was. Why is the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart? Because your heart, your soul, has been made holy. What is holy? The absence of sin. How was the absence of sin brought about in your soul? By Jesus. Because he paid our debt on that cross and gave his life on Calvary and washed away our sins by his shed blood and took our debt and paid what we owed for our sins so that our soul could be holy. God could dwell there. Are you in the presence of a holy God? Yes, if you're saved. He dwells in you. And he changes whatever he comes in contact with. God changes his people. If sin does not bother you, then there is no holiness in there. If when one of them little four-letter words sneaks out, and it doesn't bother you, then there's no spirit in there. If when we sin and do things wrong, even little, big, or great, or whatever, and they don't bother us, then there's no holiness in you. The holiness of God caught Moses' attention. And he stopped to see what this strange sight was. And when he saw it, and when he stopped, and when he paid attention, God talked to him. God talked to him. God talks to you. God talks to you through your prayers. God talks to you through Bible study. God talks to you through Bible teaching. God talks to you through the preaching. And God talks to you through your daily life. You see something, and it reminds you of God. You see something, and God starts talking to you about it. Because God is there in your soul. We must always be aware. We must always be aware as a Christian that we have a holy God dwelling in our soul. holy, pure, perfect, righteous God dwelling in our soul. We must always be aware of that and conduct ourselves likewise. We must be aware of that. We must know that there is a holy God dwelling in our soul if we're saved. And we need to listen and let that take place in our lives. Let it work in our lives. As Moses saw that bush burning, he said, "Oh, wait, we got a prairie fire coming. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here." That's how some people react to God. "I got to get out of here. This is getting too close. It's getting too hot." No. He stopped to see what was going on. He had sheep to take care of. He had all kinds of things going on. But he stopped to talk to God. And God didn't speak until he saw him stop. Until he sees you stop and pay attention, he's not going to talk to you. He does things to try and get your attention. Set a bush on fire. You stop and think about all the things that have happened in your life that God has done to get your attention. We was talking to somebody last Saturday that God's doing all kinds of things to get their attention, and they know it. And their lost friend that was sitting there knew it and recognized it. But they're not listening. God does things to get your attention. Listen. Stop. And don't be afraid to be in the presence of a holy God and listen to Him. And let Him talk to you. Let Him help you. That was a pretty unusual sight that day. And it caught Moses' attention. And he stopped. And he saw it. And it said, "Moses, Moses." What did he say? "Here am I." When Samuel was in the temple as a young boy, and God was speaking to him in the middle of the night, he thought it was Eli. "Eli, you call me." He says, "No, I didn't call you." About the third time, Eli figures out what's going on. He says, "That's God talking to you. Next time you say, 'Here am I.'" God's talking to you. Just say, "Here am I." Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. What is God talking to you about? "He's not talking to me." "Oh, yeah?" Maybe you need to clean the wax out of your ears and listen to God. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll help us, guide us, direct us. And God, let us have enough sense to listen when you talk to us. We ask this in the name of Jesus.